put your hands out towards this direction. Father, we thank you for Brad. We thank you for his shepherd's heart that wants to lead us and guide us into you and to be closer to you. And we pray that today, as he gives from what you have downloaded onto him to us, that we will be open to your words. We will be open to your guidance and to your Holy Spirit's moving along us. And lead us into truth, Lord. May the way we interact with you bring delight to your heart. And pray for peace over Brad as well as he preaches and takes us through the exercise. Give him clarity, help him stay focused. We pray that your presence be here and just shield us from distractions, Lord. We pray this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Well, very cool. Well, my name is Marquita. She is supposed to be preaching today, but she got scared. She had she thought she popped positive for COVID, but it turns out she didn't. She took some extra tests and stuff, so she was joking. I hope I'm not talking out of school. Is she on right there? Is she listening to me?
She is.
Am I okay to talk? You can put her up here. You can
she's not on the screen.
Okay. You can put these guys up there if you want us. But anyway, the point being is she goes, I've never been so happy to have a cold in all my life. It's just a cold. Some of you guys may or may not know that Allie did have COVID, surprisingly. And she's vaccinated and everything, so we're very grateful that it wasn't as, bad as it was. So she's recovering and doing really good. We know a lot of you guys have been praying. And so that's helpful. It's been really hard on little Quinn because she's kind of quarantined away from mama. And you know, my daughter is like attached to my wife very much. So it's that's been the harder part of it. And then just trying to navigate, trying to live life with us in different spaces. But we can see each other, but we can't. I don't know. It's just weird. It's really weird. I'm very excited because I apparently have super immunity because it's possible that my son had it. We took the antibody test, right? And so turns out that he's got all of the evidence of being vaccinated without having been vaccinated. So I got nothing, and then my daughter apparently she's a super immune system as well because she hasn't got anything. So that's all exciting. It's been a challenge, and it's fun to. Some of you guys know Danny and I were going to go on a little vacation. We weren't supposed to be here today, and we're just kind of like, wow, Marquita might be sick, and Bronson's got previous commitment, and we're like, okay, how do we play all this out? And so we decided to come and be part here live instead of on the internet. And as I was praying, and like, God, just how do we want to do this? Because again, like, Marquita was fully going to do this. So I just really sat down, and if you got, how many of you guys got my email over, when did those emails go out, yesterday?
You sent a fax.
I sent an email yesterday through the church, right?
The newsletter.
How many of you guys got the church email?
Yeah.
Any of you guys have a chance to read that?
Yes.
You just hold your hand up if you had a chance to read it, because I don't want to repeat if I've already, so it's kind of cool. I've been going through this book. With Christ in the School of Prayer. Now, I went through it a long time ago, and I actually shared that. I brought copies to you guys years ago now. But I've been going back through it, and it's really been awesome to go through it again. And what I basically had talked about in that email is one of the things that I never noticed before in Scripture. How many of you guys remember when the guy goes, Jesus teaches them to pray, right? So they go, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus says, in this manner, pray. So Luke's version has the pray version of, our Father who art in heaven. It's a little bit different. In fact, I can just read it real quick. It's a little different than the one we're used to reciting, right? You guys know this? Chapter 11, if you want to follow along. And he says this, he was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And John John taught his disciples, and he said, as John taught his disciples, and Jesus said to them, when you pray, say this, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to at midnight, this is the story that I was seeing, if you guys remember, right? And you go to him and said, friend, loan me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. And I cannot get up and give you anything. And I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is a friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. I don't know, have you guys ever read that and just kind of like gone, okay, so first of all, I've always thought of that as just a prayer on how to be persistent with God. God will answer your prayer if you're persistent, right? That's basically what it's saying. I also don't know if you relate to God sometimes like this, but I also feel like I'm bugging God, right? And this is the exact opposite of what this is all about. Because he goes on and he says, if you as an earthly father know how to give good gifts to your kid, how much more so does your heavenly father know how to give good gifts? So in other words, the whole idea of being persistent, you can persist because God is wanting to give you good gifts. Anybody relate to it more like I did before? Right? Like, I'm bothering God, and I know, but I just got to be persistent with this guy that, you know, doesn't want to get out of bed. Right? Well, no. It's the opposite. He wants to give us good gifts. And he's saying that even if somebody didn't want to get out of bed because of their persistence, then they would come, you know, take care of it. But God is the opposite. He wants to get out of bed. He wants us to bring our needs to him and come to him. But one of the things that I missed in this passage is why the prayer even from the beginning is even there, right? So why is this guy praying? Anybody? Why is this guy praying? Why is this guy bothering the guy knocking on the door next door? Why is he knocking on the guy's house, waking up him from his family?
So he can feed his guests,
right? Does that make sense? There's somebody who's in need who needs bread. The guy didn't have proper preparations. And in the Middle East, that's a big deal, right? Hospitality. If you don't have the proper stuff to, you know, take care of, you guys, my friend Colin's here today, right? Everybody can say hi to Colin, right? If we weren't here to take care of him, like greet him and make sure he had, you know, a place and, you know, felt comfortable in here, that would look bad on us to some degree, right? Yeah. In the Middle East, that would be a huge, huge deal. Huge deal, right? Probably over many, like almost everywhere but America. That would be a bigger deal than it is here, right? If we didn't take care of him or talk to him or ignore him or whatever, he might go away and we might not be, you know, it would not go over well, but it's not anywhere like it would be in this place, right? I got caught up on that. This guy's, you know, looking bad. He's, you know, it's a shame culture. It's like, oh my goodness, I didn't create hospitality for somebody. I didn't take care of somebody. So what happens here is the guy goes, he knocks on the door, he gets the, you know, out of persistence, he's going to try and get this guy out of bed to get him some bread. But what I still missed is why the custom in the beginning. What's the purpose of the custom? Why have extra bread? Why is that important? What's that?
To be ready.
To be ready for what reason?
To serve people when the time arrives.
To serve them, and even more so, I would go further to say, especially if they are in need of the bread, right? It completely missed me. There's a person that might need bread that's at the base of this prayer. And so as I'm reading this in here, he focuses fully on the other's needs. And it just was, it was huge. It was a huge shift. I don't know, maybe you guys are all nodding your head like, oh yeah, duh. You just caught up, right? Right? But there's an element where we get caught up in, I need to pray because it's the right thing to do. I need to pray because, you know, it's our custom, and if I don't pray, I'll look bad, right? No. We pray because there is a need on the other side of our prayer. So as I was praying and preparing for this morning, I turned to the next page. And we're here celebrating, what's today? What are we celebrating?
First fruits.
First fruits, which means what? What do we pray over? What's the point of doing this?
Giving groceries to the people in this community.
There are people in need, right? This is a glorified gesture. I'm sorry, this is like a BB gun against a tank. We're not going to solve anything with our little groceries here.
Yeah.
Right? But there's more to it. Our prayers matter. Our prayers are not just BBs against a tank. They are like full-blown nuclear weapons. Right? They will do some stuff. I want to share this. If you have your, how many of you guys are having trouble getting on your phone? Were you able to kind of figure that out?
I have trouble.
If you guys can break up into groups, if you guys can see it on your phone, maybe lift your phone up, show me who has it on their phone. Right? So there's one, there's two, there's one outside, there's one here, there's a broken phone. Okay. What I'd like to do is get in groups and let's read through them together. Let's read through them. Now, I would like for you to take some notes, if you don't mind. Just at some things that stand out to you in the passage. So if you need a piece of paper or a pen, please lift up your hand. So here's some paper. So you guys want to gather and get in little groups. And what I want to do is, if you can, read them. If you want to take turns reading them, that could work as well. Or if you just only have one phone that's working, you want to read.
Yeah.
And just do that. Yeah, it was neat as I was walking around just noticing and listening to the actual teaching that was going on within the small groups. That was kind of like, hey, it's actually happening right here in the minute. So that's cool. One more, anybody?
Should I tell the story? It was a hot day, and we had the door open at my parents' house. And this guy just comes walking in, and he said hello to my dad, and my dad's off, and my mom said, "You're right in time for breakfast." Mm-hmm. And we fed him, and then he said he was a relative of somebody, and my dad dropped him off, and I just always remember that. I thought that was cool.
Just walking me right in.
Yeah.
Just joined the big deal. That's awesome. Well, very cool. Well, again, I thought this was really cool that this was the, you know, as I was kind of like how do I stand before you guys today, right? And that this, the harvest thing really stuck out to me, and I just started praying through it, and I read it a couple times, and I read it with Allie, and it was really fantastic for me to consider. One of the things that where I met Colin, and you know, some of you guys know Bronson and Marquita and Riley, we went to this thing called Awaken, And one of the things about it is it's a real giant, huge thing of prayer. Like, you know, how do you be an intercessor for others? And how do you stand with others? And how do you, you know, really just pray in a way. And one of the things that Marquita and I were talking about is, how do we look at prayer as not like this, oh, okay, well, I guess I'll just pray. As opposed to, oh my goodness, I got to pray, because that'll do something. Right? So that was a conversation that we've been having as pastors. It's like, how is it that we're not seeing prayer as something that can move mountains? Right? And for me, I've also been looking at it as, how do I, for one, I want to see God more. Right? Like, and what I mean is, you know, like, yeah, Moses, that'd be great, the burning bush, I'm all for that, right? Like, that's all good. But when I'm praying, do I actually sit down and enjoy being across from my Creator? Do I just listen to Him? Do I enjoy His presence? Because there was another guy that shared at this thing, was talking about how God Emmanuel is with us. And yeah, He came to die for us. He came to do some stuff, right? There was some things He came to do. But one of the things that it would appear is He enjoyed being with us. Right? How often do we just take that breath and enjoy being with the Creator of the universe? And I was really convicted on that. And with that, and kind of taking this passage, is how do I see people? His heart. What is His heart? Where does this come out of? This passage comes out of His compassion for people. People need to be cared for. People need to be loved. People need to be, you know, enjoyed, really. And I was also convicted that I just don't take time and just enjoy you guys. Right? Like, I want to enjoy being pastor at this church. Not that it's not going to have hard work, and not that there's going to be labor and different things, but I want to really, like, I'm noticing it's fun watching some of you guys really enjoy each other. And I don't want to be the guy out here watching everybody else do their thing. Right? I've said many, many, many times that I am not interested in consultants here within the community, right? Like, we're not consultants. We're all in it together. We are in this place. And so far be it for me to try and, you know, kind of, oh my gosh, I got to do this, and I'm running around over here, and I've got to make this over here, and, you know, and then, you know, I'll hear somebody, and oh, I got to fix that and this, and we get all anxious, or at least I do, right? Instead of just, like, even in this project, I'm walking around and I'm feeling anxious, right? Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going way too long. There's people struggling. It's not really going. I don't know. This is harder than I want. And then just asking the Lord, just be with us. Just be with us. Share with what you want to share about this. And just trying to breathe and just trying to enjoy. And it was fun from that perspective to get to enjoy and watch and hear some of the snippets that were going around. So in that, I don't want prayer to be the lowest thing that we go to. I want it to be seen as something to where we really can enjoy it. Even if it's laborious or hard work, it's okay, right? But there's joy in that. There's deep joy in a job well done. Yeah?
Amen.
So in that, good job. Good job working through it. Good job following me up this little hill here. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate you guys. The other thing that I wanted to just remind us, and you probably got all of this, right, and I totally get this, but it's great that you pray for your leaders, right, and we should always pray for our leaders. You pray for me. I feel really blessed. My wife has been completely cared for, you know, in this process of just, not just physical food has come to our house, but in the presence of prayer, right, in the presence of intercession, and so that's fantastic. But what struck me on this is how often we pray for leaders, but it doesn't occur to us to pray for more.
Right.
Right? It doesn't pray for us. Like, what if we had, you know, 10, 15 other people called to ministry, just come to this church? Yeah. Like, let's pray for those people. We're not just looking for the lost. We're looking for the laborers, the people that want to enjoy the Lord and participate. So that's just a thought on that that I had. And related to that is, I really want us to be aware of how much bitterness can seep into things, mm-hmm. right? I was sharing had a couple different conversations, one with Daniel this week, and just different things. Growing up, it was hard, right? Like, I had a hard time connecting with, you know, churches or homes or whatever. And one of the things, and most of you guys know my story, you know, I never knew my dad growing up and all this stuff, and it'll mess you up a little bit. And one of the struggles that I've always had is, why didn't anybody kind of intervene for me? Why didn't they take care of me? And a lot of times we think of that for the church, right? Like, why doesn't the church intervene better? I've been to churches. I went to a church. I was actually a youth pastor at a church, and I had a really hard time. And I come to find out there was a guy in there that I just thought, why didn't you step in there and intervene? Like, you were capable. I really liked, you know, him, and I found out later that he was going to the church. I didn't even realize he was at the church at the time. And I just remember feeling that kind of bitterness, like, why didn't you take care of me? Why didn't I get prevented from having to have the hard road in this particular area? And I think of that, like, from growing up and just these different places. And the church misses a lot of people, don't they? Right? There's a lot of people that just sort of fall through the cracks. And whether that's their choice or whether that's the church just being too self-consumed or whatever. But I think one of the things that I really want to make sure is we consider if we're, like, I think a lot of people don't want to be leaders because they don't want to be the person who misses the other person that falls through the cracks, right? If I'm a leader and it's inevitable that someone's going to get hurt by, if I'm identified with as the church with somebody, I've had this little situation where I was going through on Facebook and I'd said something, I actually reposted something, and somebody thought that I was posting it first person, and I went, you know, I got, like, hammered for it, right? It wasn't quite that bad, but I think I got hit pretty good, square in the eyes. We were talking about that, right? And I was noticing how many people were jumping in and, quote-unquote, speaking for the church, apologizing for how the church hurt this person. But what struck me about that is none of these people were associated with the church that was that hurt them, right? Like, it was very noble for them to kind of come into the rescue and protect them and say we're thankful and, you know, we're sorry, you know, that kind of a thing. But why not them be part of the church and actually be part of changing things, right? Instead of being a voice out over here, why not be part of the community? Identify yourself in some sense of I am a leader in community. And I'm going to step in on that. It's easy to say it when someone's hurt and they find it that way, but I just wonder how many of us don't step into that role because we're afraid of messing up somebody else's life, right? We're afraid of getting, and if I use myself first person, my fear of doing something and being bold about it, I'm going to, like, I still have maybe bitterness that I need to forgive for people that missed me growing up. Does that make any sense? I don't want people to hold back because they feel like, hey, if I'm going to step into this role, I am going to mess up. And where's the grace? Where is the provision that God has given us? One of the huge things that we learned, or that I learned up at this thing, was how often I'm afraid that there's not enough forgiveness for Brad. Again, look who just caught up, right? Like, I think you guys get that, but I also want to tell you and remind you, even from that perspective, there's enough forgiveness for you. It's not going to run out. You can't screw up so bad that they're not going to, that your kids aren't going to turn out right, right? There's forgiveness, even if they end up being complete jerks. You know, your families, one of them might, you know, who knows where they go. You know, we know Hero, she's got that rebellious spirit in her, right? She's going to know. Forgiveness to go around, right? We don't have to be worried that God's, you know, he's not sitting there, gosh, here he is again, asking for forgiveness. If I'm just persistent enough, he'll forgive me. I'll knock until he forgives me. I'll knock. No, he wants to forgive. He wants to forgive.
Yes, sir? I would say the biggest thing is that we have to be able to forgive ourselves, too. So I think that...
Well, I think we have to be able to accept forgiveness. Right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure forgiving ourselves is in the Bible, but I think that we have to receive Jesus' forgiveness.
Right?
Yes.
Part of receiving is forgiveness.
It's a gift he gives to us. All we got to do is say yes to him. Right? And he takes care of so much of the rest. But yes, I agree. We do have to let that in. And that's another big thing that I'm really learning is I'm not as open to allow love to come my direction. Right?
Right.
So, yeah, for sure. But, nevertheless, I just wanted to remind us that there's plenty of love, plenty of forgiveness that's available if we just open our hearts to it. Yeah? Good. Well, with that, let's not make prayer our last resort. Let's make it our primary. And we want to pray as though God is wanting to give to us. And the harvest, whatever he has for us, I echo what Tara said earlier. I really invite you guys, please pray about who you might bless this week. Now, you may bless them with the invitation to come. They may or may not come, but that could just be the opportunity to talk to them about the Lord. They may never set foot in the church, but the opportunity to invite them is just simply, hey, we're going to have this thing next week at the park. We're going to have tacos and, you know, testimony. I don't think that's trademarked yet, but we'll steal that from Kenny, right? Tacos and testimony. We'll invite people to come and pray for them, pray with them. I really encourage you not just to go, I hope somebody invites, right? I encourage you to say, God, who would you have me invite? Who would you have me pray for or encourage this week? Yeah? Very cool. Thanks again for going through all this. Yes, sir?
Did you want us to invite non-believers?
Non-believers? Whoever God puts on your heart.
Okay.
Yeah? Okay. We don't want a church deal, right? Like, we're not interested in, like, taking the, you know, the guts out of somebody's church, but just pray, you know, pray that God would have you to do that. So, cool. Let's pray. God, at the end of the day, you are King, and you are Lord, and you are sovereign. And you have this whole world in your hands. You know what you're doing. You know all the details. Thank you for inviting us into the process. Thank you that you invite us to join with you to be co-laborers in your kingdom. God, please forgive us for seeing that as a burden. Let us see your heart for people. Let us grow in that. We want your compassion. Do with this as you will. Let me just surrender to you in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Awesome.
I screenshotted this yesterday when I was watching a sermon, and I wanted to share it with you guys. It says, war is fatiguing, cultural war is exhausting, spiritual war is supernaturally taxing, exhausting and fatiguing. Better Almighty Savior, Jesus Christ, whose power is unlimited, promises to give us his all-sufficient strength to face the battle without fading, promising, surrendering, or betraying our principles at the critical moments. We are invisible until Jesus Christ is done with us. May the strength of God sustain us. May the power of God preserve us. May the hands of God protect us. May the way of God direct us. May the love of God go with us this day forever. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Have a great day.